The place for all of the Big Brother Canada contestants to do their chop shopping is Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Or for our listeners in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's about to host a damn Big Brother recap. I'm Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our live Big Brother recap here on Tuesday, March 31st. And we have a great Big Brother Canada recap for you guys today because we have one of the stars of Big Brother Canada 2 and a guy who I think is particularly important to what's going on right now, because I think we have so many people who are playing the Arlie game right now. Please welcome from Big Brother Canada 2, Arlie Chabon. Arlie, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. Really stoked to be on your show finally. I'm big fan of you all the way back from Survivor, so pumped to be here.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Big Brother Canada 3.
Yes. Okay, good.
I can't help myself, Rob. Reality runs in my blood.
Good. Well, Arlie, I thought that you were so much fun last season. I was so disappointed when you went out of the house. And I think that you were too good. And I think that there's a couple of people that I think that are doing great right now, but I feel like are probably not going to be there when it gets down to the final couple people in the house.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
I see how that happens. And like, it's like, I was almost at the point in the game where people could just see through it. Like, I was trying to act like I wasn't good at the game and I didn't know what was going on. You can only keep up that facade for so long. But that's why it's different this season. Like, Jordan's just coming out and being like, I know everything. I'm a know-it-all. He's in a really good spot right now, but it's like, with that much information and that much being a know-it-all about the game, in like final six or seven, if he makes it that far, target central. He's just a mental beast, so could come back to backfire for sure. And then Kevin, I love Kevin, and I love exactly what happened to him so far in the game. I feel like if what happened to Kevin happened to me early on, it would have been maybe a different game. He got a little kick in the butt. He was a little overconfident really early. And got a kick in the butt, and it snapped him into game modes. And I'm like, maybe now he'll be able to do something. He's on the outs of the big alliance, which is not a good sign, but he could do some mad work in there.
Okay, well, we're going to talk about all this and much more here with Arlie today. Of course, we're live on robhasawebsite.com, and we are going to be taking your questions throughout the show for Arlie and also about the live feeds. Of course, you can send them in either on our chat room at robhasawebsite.com or via Twitter, hashtag RHAP, or on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, joining us also today, we are on the search to find some live feed correspondents for Big Brother Canada and ultimately for Big Brother US later on in the summer. And joining us today are two new people that we want to introduce you to. Okay, first, here is a person that you've heard him a couple times on post-show recap. So he's a big Brother fan and a big game show fan. Please welcome Brent Walgemout. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Rob. How are you doing?
Very good, Brent. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's not a lot to tell. I mean, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. I love game shows of the 1980s and competitive reality TV shows, which is how I bonded with you and Rob Has a Planet in general. I have a partner named Jay who is a doctor, so I did good. And we're going to celebrate 11 years together.
Congratulations.
July 7th. Nice. So, I call July 7th the day I hit the lottery.
Yes. Okay. Well, good to have you here and looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about the live feeds. And also joining us tonight, one of the other people, that he is the first of our live feed reporters coming to us from north of the border in Ontario. Please welcome Havish. Havish, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yes.
And it's nice to be here, Rob.
Havish, tell us a little bit about yourself and your Big Brother fandom.
Well, my name is Havish Patel. I'm from London, Ontario, Canada, and I'm an engineering student. I've been watching Big Brother since season 10, which made me go back and watch a bunch of other seasons. And then I went ahead and started watching seasons coming up, and I started live feeding as well.
Okay. All right, Havish. Well, good to have you here. And very interested to know what's been going on since these last two episodes have aired. We're going to talk about the episodes that aired on Sunday night and on Monday night. It's about the HOH challenge and the POV. And then we'll talk about those spoiler free, or not talking about the live feed stuff. And then when you hear this sound, that means we're going to talk live feeds. Okay, so then you know. So up until then, we're only going to talk about what's happened on episode 3 and 4 of the TV show. And Arlie, an interesting couple of days for sure in this going here in the house. And you have a guy like Bobby who becomes the HOH and sort of has this doctrine of, I don't want to get any blood on my hands. And he wants to nominate the first two people who fall out of the challenge as the first two people to go up on the block. And does that really hold any water for people in the house, or does everybody just see through that? Like, can anybody really take that seriously?
Literally so many people take it seriously. I never in a million years would believe that. It's like, clearly there's an ulterior motive behind it, which I thought Bobby executed it perfectly and the house ate it up exactly like they shouldn't, but did. He was even Kevin didn't really realize that he was the target until the girls were like, oh yeah, until he overheard that. But honestly, people do eat it up. But the reason they do is because there's not that many like gamers in the house. There's never like 8 or 9 people who really get the game. So when people hear that, it's like they just watched the first season 6 months ago and they're like, oh yeah, whatever. I guess that's a decent reason for the first nomination. They don't really know.
Yeah. Do you feel like there are maybe 8 or 9 gamers in this house, or do you feel like there's just a couple of people that really understand what's going on?
There's more gamers in this season than I would see in an average season. Again, normally you can find out pretty fast if they are gamers or not. A couple of them are we're playing up the gamer thing a lot more in their bio and they're hiding it in the house. But I do think there's probably 4 or 5 gamers this season for sure. Like, or that peep super fans almost. Like, I'd give it a high number compared to any other season.
Was that a thing on your season? Were a lot of people talking about the show? I know that Netta is a big fan and knows everything. Did people talk about all of Big Brother previous seasons and Big Brother Canada 1 a lot in the Big Brother Canada 2 house?
Yes and no. It was the wrong people talking about it. Me and Netta never spoke of it for the longest time. Like, we would just have the most little inputs ever. But Sabrina acted like she knew everything and like she knew everything about every season, even though she didn't know Dr. Will was on All Stars. So she would talk about it all the time and we just have to listen to all the incorrect facts, but other people would like jump on the bandwagon, and Allison talked about it a lot also, but I feel like mine and Netta's strategy were just like, pretend you're not a super fan. Kind of blew up in both of our faces though, because we both got exposed as super fans at one point. It kind of led to my demise. It kind of might have led to her eviction by John because he realized what a good player she was. So hiding it isn't as good a strategy as I thought, but I don't think you should play it up as much as Jordan is either.
Yeah. And it hasn't been a big deal on the show too much, but this isn't a spoiler from the live feeds, but there's a lot of talk about previous seasons going on the live feeds, and they talk about it constantly. Brent, could you just give us a flavor of how much they talk about previous seasons on the live feeds?
Oh, it's really amazing. I have never seen this much talk of previous seasons on a current season. Jordan, in particular, is notorious on some of the other sites, shall we say, for reenacting scenes from previous Big Brothers. I think he even knows many of the house guests' last name, who I have long since forgotten. I think they did a Big Brother All-Stars pick the other day, and it's quite irritating. If you want to see the drama, you're not going to get it from Jordan, because he's just going to talk about previous Big Brother seasons and his favorite contestants so far.
So Arlie, do you feel like, is it bad for people to be talking that much about Big Brother on Big Brother? And what is production's feelings on this?
I think it's bad to talk to the extent Jordan is, for sure. Like, he is a super fan and he's proving it in there. Like, he's coming up with a lot of facts that I don't even remember. Like, I don't have the best memory. I'm a super fan, but I can't retain it all. He's a super fan and like retains everything. So he definitely should rein that in. People will be threatened by that deeper in the game, especially if especially if they notice that things are going the way they should for his game, they might start, like, other smarter players like Kevin or something might start being like, wait a minute, like, he's a super fan. He might have side alliances we don't know about. Like, they could start really looking more into his game than they would if he wasn't a super fan. That's what I would do in there. And production doesn't really care about talking about past seasons. We had free reign about talking about past seasons. From what I remember.
Okay, well, I want to sort of try to tie all these different things that we're talking about together between being a super fan of the show but trying to hide it. Another thing that's come up this season is the idea of, okay, we're going to throw the challenge but try to make it look good. And this was something that you did in a very entertaining way on Big Brother Canada 2, the way that you threw challenges. But there was a little bit of a question of, you know, did that tip people off how you threw challenges, that maybe you were a better player than you were leading on? And we have people like Kevin talking about how he's going to throw challenges and he stepped down when Brittany was crying. And we see Jordan and Zach talking about how they're going to, you know, really choreograph how they're going to throw the challenge. So could you talk a little bit about throwing challenges and what you've learned from your experience about throwing challenges and if it really does help you in the game?
Yeah, I think everyone's game's different. It will definitely help some people and it will definitely hurt some people. It was way harder to throw challenges than I thought it would be, because like when I'm competing, I'm a beast. And if I'm giving it like 180% and then I'm trying to pretend I'm not, but people still think I'm giving it 100%. It was so much harder to pull that stuff off than I thought. So with the golden potato one, for instance, the first like real one that got shown, I thrown, that one sucked for me because there was no possible way to throw that competition without making it look like I lasted a really long time and like I had a lot of stamina, because unless I legitimately just gave up, which I thought would have been too negative, but it was like the competition lasted for hours and hours and we were beating Kenny by so much. I was just like, and he's a beast. And I was like, I don't know what to do. There was no possible way to throw that competition and make myself look weak. It was impossible. And that really bugged me. So I get what you're saying with competitions. It's hit or miss though. Like some help me, some hurt me.
So what do you do if you're these players in the house, like a Kevin or a Jordan or people, any of these guys in the house, should you just go out there and say, hey, let me just win these competitions? Or do you think that it is a good idea to be throwing the competitions?
I think throwing competitions are good for the most part, but like if I ever made it back into an all-star season, I would probably have a completely different strategy because people would probably know that I'm capable in competitions. So if I went into the house and I looked like Kenny or Zach or I don't know, Bobby, I don't know if I would have had the game plan to throw competitions, because I think like Howard in BB15 throwing all the physical competitions, they were just laughing behind his back being like, he's a beast. Clearly he is capable of doing this. So it's like, it's just hard. You'd have to just base it on who you are individually, I think.
Yeah, it really is tricky because, you know, people don't need another reason to vote you off. So you're sort of like making that target bigger every time you win. At the same, you know, by the opposite of that, you know, they're going to vote you out either way. You know, they might vote you out anyway. Yeah. So you might as well win the competitions. It really is, you know, I understand it early on, but, you know, I used to be a big believer in the Dr. Will, like don't win anything, but I'm starting to turn around more and more into maybe it is a good idea to be winning more than you're just throwing everything.
After playing the game, that's exactly the way I look at it, because throwing at the beginning is always a good thing in my mind, because, or at least for a player like me, because I'm going to be confident enough in my social game that if you're not good enough to get by at least a few weeks at the beginning, you're probably not going to win. That's the way I look at it. So throwing the first few always work, but like you said, you're going to be targeted for something at some point. And at least if you're winning, you can start steering the house in the direction you want, just doing it instead of having to try to do it behind the scenes. So there are a lot more benefits than I considered, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a money ball thing. I think that winning the challenges is the new throwing the challenges. How about that?
It could definitely turn into that. I actually could see that. One thing I'll say about throwing challenges and the perspective of it, it's so funny how it can change. So perfect example is Kevin this season. When he first got off that HOH block second, I was chirping him hard because I was like, you know what? I know he wants to go in there. I know he wants to throw competitions. But early on, you never want to be one of the first people out. It's always a default reason for people going up on the block. In my season, the first six off the first HOH were all at risk for going up. Like, so for the first two or three, I think you should just be middle of the pack. So when he got off second, and then they used that as a default excuse to put him up, and actually he was the target, I was chirping him. But then he ended up finding out about the plan, and it turned completely around, and now he has an in with the guys he had no in with before. So it probably worked out in his favor just by fluke.
Yeah. How much of a lucky break was that for Kevin, who was the target from these guys in the house after they thought that he was a threat? Then he's in the bathroom in the HOH and the girls are all coming up with this plan. He overhears it and now he's able to go back to the guys and take this plan. Did you like every way that he handled this? He said that, did he say it was a masterpiece?
It was a masterpiece. And
it was really good.
I do like every single way he handled it. It was literally beautiful, especially he knew the girls were about to leave the room and he wanted to come out on purpose so they saw he was there. Like, he literally heard them going to the door and that's when he ran out around the corner, which just makes for even better TV, like the confrontation of it and stuff. So, like, it was brilliant. And the fact that he did it perfectly. He worked the DR perfectly. Like, he's really starting to get the game. It snapped him into game modes. I literally feel like if he didn't overhear that conversation, he might have been a little bit too overconfident and just believed people's stories about, oh, maybe they're going to backdoor someone, or maybe they're going to, I don't know what story they would have told him, but he was kind of starting to believe stuff in there. So without this knowledge, he might have been in rough shape.
Do you see Kevin as the Arlie of this season? Do you feel like he's a kindred spirit?
Yeah, kind of. I do. The one thing which I never really thought before, but before the season, I kind of thought. So I thought he was going to be a better version of me, and he very well still could be. But on first impression, I think he's not playing the game right until this thing clicked him into game modes. So now I think he's on the right track. But until that happened, I think he was a little too cocky and overconfident. And could have gone home early, like what almost happened. I don't think that was ever possible for me. I just would have never gone home early. I was very, very confident I could make it through 5 weeks. After that, I knew it's just shenanigans. And again, I might just sound stupid saying that, but like, I feel like if you play it right at the beginning, it's so easy to not get targeted.
I mean, I think that you're right about that. I think for the most part, and there's certainly exceptions to the rule, like the people of out the first 4 or 5 weeks on Big Brother, it's like you can kind of, your Devins go out, you know, your Andrews, like it's real, your Pauls, with all due respect, you know, it's really, you see a lot of people just play themselves right out of the house in the first 2-3 weeks of the game. And it's somewhat predictable, like after you see them in the house for a day, to know who are the people that are going to be going out. Is there one trait that you can sort of put your finger on of what that is that causes these early boots to happen on Big Brother?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I won't leave it just to one trait, but a big one is HOH-itis. You get HOH at the beginning. You just think you got the house. Like, you think you're safe forever because you're safe for 1 week. And a week in there is like a month or 6 weeks in real life. So when you're sitting on top of the world, like Paul was for a full month in your mind, and then all of a sudden, he literally had an actual breakdown day 8 as soon as his HOH was gone. And I watched it. He started just actually crying. And it's like, Paul, we gave you an HOH. You were safe. Like, you actually kind of have to play the game now that you don't have immunity. Like, so, yeah, it's that. So it's HOH-itis, which happens a lot, and it's ego. It's people coming in and thinking they have the game figured out. Andrew, not realizing that it's possible for there to be super fans like me in the house. Like, that stuff didn't even enter his mind. And I'm just like watching his logic on the game. And I'm like, I would just laugh in my head. I was like, this is why you're not going anywhere close to the end. Cause like, you're sitting here telling me to my face almost that you're playing me, not knowing I'm 10 times ahead of you in where we are at this game. Like, even if, yeah, I just feel like the ego, HOHitis, and have just been completely oblivious, kind of like a Nick. I love a Nick to death, but playing the game, she did almost everything you can do wrong at the beginning. She was off first. She was like the biggest, boldest personality. She rubbed the girls the wrong way. It's just like those things, being really unaware, being really cocky, HOHitis, those are the biggest things. And I was just never going to do any of those at the beginning.
Now, I'm glad you brought up what was going on with Nick and how she rubbed the other women in the house the wrong way. And this season, we saw our first person that got kicked out of the house was Risha. And now it certainly looks like Cindy is headed that way again. And we're going to see two women who were very outspoken be the people to go out. Arlie, do you think that there's something to this, that the sexually aggressive woman in the Big Brother house is somebody who is always going to be targeted early on?
Yeah, if they're sexually aggressive in the way Risha and Cindy were being, just like to everyone, that just rubs girls the wrong way. Girls, the way Big Brother always seems to happen at the beginning is the guys get together, the girls almost think they're going to get together, but then just start branching off the guys and turning on each other. And that's kind of just because of personality traits like Risha and like Cindy. They can't gel with girls. They just can't. Like, so it's easy for the girls to turn on them. And I even predicted when I was doing On the Block with Spencer McRae, I predicted that there was going to be a vote on first impressions and that Risha was going to go up because she was the older smoking hot woman. Just obviously I gave out a million predictions about a million things, but that one,
and some of them were right. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like Sabrina, one in a thousand, but like, no, she really was screwed on first impressions and her attitude did not help at all. So there'll always be those people on the show though. And they'll always be targeted early. And if they slip by, they can go really far because they aren't liked.
Yeah. It's almost like, I wish I had a better analogy or metaphor for this. It's like the sexually aggressive female Big Brother contestant is almost like she's at the top of the mountain. She's going out there. She jumps off the cliff. And if she's like trying to reach for the trapeze, which is the showmance. And if she jumps and catches the showmance, then she's going to be in the house for a while. But if she comes into the house, the sexually aggressive woman, and then she doesn't get that showmance, like we saw with Cindy, it failed with Bobby. Then she's exposed. The guys don't trust her. The women don't trust her. And then you're on your way out the door.
That's a beautiful analogy. It really, really does fit what you're trying to say.
Yes. Right. Was that offensive?
No, not at all. I actually thought it was hilarious.
Okay. Good. Good. Havish, what do you think?
It was good.
Okay. Good. Good. Everybody tell me that I'm right. Good. All right, let's talk about the Chop Shop versus the first five, Arlie. So
yeah, let's do it.
And I also feel like that I was thinking about you because we had this interview coming up and I'm looking at Zach, who is in the Chop Shop, which is this alliance of six. And he's the one person who's in the Chop Shop, but is sort of has like one foot out of it and is reporting back on what's going on. And I was thinking back to you being in the first five and then also, you know, talking with the Sloppy Seconds and you know, other people in the house. Do you see any similarities between yourself and where Zach is at in the game?
Yes, but I don't know if he's going to turn his back on the Chop Shop. I feel like he's just got a solid number one and he wants to make them both work together for a long time. I do feel like the Chop Shop will fall apart. But the reason I see a lot of similarities is because me and Kenny were in a very similar position to Zach and Jordan at this point, because we had the Chop Shop, or we had the first five, we had a guys alliance, and we had the girls telling us everything about the girls. We had Sabrina and Sarah telling us everything about the girls alliance. So we were untouchable for a while at the beginning. Again, like you can only stay untouchable for like different sections in the game. The whole game changes. There was a few weeks at the beginning where for sure I wasn't going to get touched, and that's exactly where I feel like Zach's at. Sure, like the absolute wrong one or two people could win HOH and he could go up, but I feel like he's pretty much covered all his bases. And even if he was nominated, he's staying. So that's why I think we have a similar game. Like, he's really safe right now.
Yeah. I think that Zach is.
But it's going to be hard for him to win. It's going to be hard for him to win, which, like, I guess is probably another similar thing to my game.
Yeah. I think that's going to be interesting. But you would agree, though, that the Chop Shop has no chance of working, right?
Absolutely. No chance. Right.
So how do
they just.
So how does it go down? Do you think that somebody from the other side wins HOH and we end up seeing like a Bobby and Greg on the block together?
Oh, that could be good. It'll be something like that. It'll either be like someone from the other side wins and they just don't have a choice. They have to turn on each other. And then that'll crack it for the rest. Like once two people from the alliance are up on the block and they start campaigning against each other, that just breaks the whole alliance apart. Sure, there'll be like fractures of it after, but it will never be the same after that. And what was your question again?
that they can't actually do anything. This Chop Shop.
No, yeah, they won't. And then you were asking, how their demise would be. Yeah, if that's not how their demise would be, then I think it would just be like they go through a couple weeks and then they just turn on each other. Like, The same thing started happening with the first five. The reason why I was more and more pissed off with the first five was Kenny and his side deals. He was roping in people and he was pushing me down. And I knew Andrew was going to go. I knew Sabrina was whatever. But it was Kenny and Sarah that if I was ever going to stay with the first five, I wanted to go deep with them. And Kenny just made me feel like dirt. He pulled in Rochelle. They're like, she's the sixth member of the first five. And I'm like, no, you just bumped me to the sixth member of the first five. And she's like number four now. Like, but they didn't see stuff like that. So I literally just think the same type of stuff's going to happen. People are going to, their awesome Chop Shop plan is everyone get close to one person and then we're going to chop the one person you're close to. But then as soon as people start positioning to get their person chopped near the end, then it's just going to be like, well, like, okay, what if I want my person chopped near the end? And maybe they're a little closer to their person than they are to their alliance. So it's going to be either someone from the other side wins and puts two of them up or a very similar scenario to what I just said, I think.
Yeah. How do you deal with a guy like Greg in the Big Brother house? Because it's clear that he's playing the Andrew role, right?
Yeah. Really, really, really easy to deal with those people, to be honest. They're really ego-driven. They're really about themselves. And all you have to do is make them believe you really, really think they're God. And like, it's not hard to do because when people have big egos, they think they're God. So if you're just like a little groupie for them, they eat it up. Like, I had a game in the house called Pumpin' Andrew's Tires. And the only person I ever told it about was Sarah. And we would have fun sometimes, both of us. Andrew would come out, we'd be on the hammock. I'd be like, man, Andrew, your muscles are like huge today. Like, you've been working out, and he'd like flex in the mirror and like, and then Sarah would be like, that dinner you made though, like, oh my God. And then we'd say three or four compliments. He'd soak them up, look in the mirror, and then he'd walk away and we'd just laugh. And it's like, but in his head, he had us and we had him. And it was just like, okay, whatever we have to do.
Yeah. How hilarious was it that scene where the Chop Shop is talking, and I think it's Willow comes into the HOH room and Greg is sitting on the toilet and is like having like the meeting and is like peeking behind the curtain, like, hey, like, listen, this is what we're doing. How great is that, Arlie? Did you ever make an alliance while on the throne?
I can't say I didn't. I don't know if I specifically remember. I would have definitely had like alliance chats though. The fun, like, that just brought me back to being in the house though. It's just like that. Like, you take the chances when you can. If Greg's taking a crap and you need to talk strategy with him, you're going to do it while he's taking a crap and you don't care because that's the only time you can get away with it.
But in fairness, I think she came in. Who was in there? Was it Bobby was in there? Or was that, she was like talking about somebody else. And he sort of like jumped in the conversation from like, hey, exactly. Hey, let me get in on this.
But that's from his side. He's like, crap, like this might be the only time. Yes, I get
literally.
I just need to get it out now because honestly, the BB Can House isn't like the American house in the sense that we don't have separate bedrooms. We have one bedroom, one HOH room, one pantry, and like a backyard. The rest is like one huge room. It's hard to have secret meetings with people. That was the stupid thing about the first five too, is they were the worst at having secret meetings. I would sit back and observe and be like, oh God, I know I'm not the only gamer in this house. Anyone else who's sitting back and observing, like I'm doing right now, just saw Kenny go in the pantry to talk to Sarah, just saw Kenny leave, Andrew walk in, him leave, Sabrina walk in. I was like, this is the stupidest. Those were so many reasons why I had to cut, like, get rid of it. It was like hurting my game in so many ways.
Havish, how much bathroom alliance talk are you seeing on the live feeds this season?
That was just one of the major ones. There's alliance talk recently with Jordan and Zach, actually. Well, Jordan was in the bathroom, in like the main bathroom, not the HOH bathroom.
Yes. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
A lot of bathroom talk. You know, I want to talk about this game that they ended up playing, Arlie, where I love when they do these missions on Big Brother Canada, and I like it. It's so much more fun that they do this stuff than on the American Big Brother, where they don't do as much of this stuff, if ever. And so they had to do this thing, which was Jonathan was sort of like selected, and he was in a room, and he had to figure out what order people were in. And there was a couple of, you know, things that really stood out to me, and things that I thought are especially bad for Jordan's game here. Big Brother really, I think, didn't do him any favors this week, because they have to do this first one, and I believe the first one was put everybody in order from smartest to dumbest. And of course, here's Jordan now at the top of the list for smartest person in the house. And while I think most of us feel like he's playing a very fun game and it has been very good to watch, I feel like this is a major red flag here for him, that so much of the house knows what he's about and that he's a sharp guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he brought that on himself completely about some of the stuff I was saying before.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
That was kind of like Andrew my season too. Like, Andrew was a know-it-all, and he was a really, really smart person, and he could talk his way and justify anything. So he would just dominate all conversation and make himself look smart and pull out the most random facts out of nowhere. And Jordan's doing that, only more related to strictly Big Brother things. So it's like, anytime anyone is passionate about something, especially any smart person is passionate about something, when they talk about it, they sound 10 times more smart. That's what I think, at least. That's what he's doing. So he knows so much about Big Brother. And since he can recall so many last names and like just everything about like what season people are on, and he's good at it, and he's getting a lot right compared to other people on other shows. So it's so impressive, but everyone's seeing it. And I think it's too late to rein it in. He put it out there already.
Is there anything that he could have done differently when they say, okay, who's the smart? Oh, well, Jordan, you're the smartest. You go all the way down to the end of the line, JP.
Like, I feel like the only stuff he could have done differently was pre that competition. Like, in my mind, people are doing that competition in their head already. Like, they're like, who's smartest in the house, who's not? And he clearly didn't care that he looked super smart. He probably actually liked it. Like, he's got an ego too, and you can tell he wants people to know that he's smart. So the fact that he is now getting called out for it, it's like, well, you were asking to get called out for it. So yeah, he couldn't do anything once the competition started, I don't think, because he dug his own grave by that point.
Okay, well, that was bad. But then things got worse, Arlie.
Yeah, they did.
They asked them, put everybody in the position of who is most likely to win the game. And again, Jordan is at the top of the list. Can Jordan bounce back from this, Arlie?
Yeah, it's definitely hurt him a lot. I do think he can bounce back from it, because the house is a crazy thing. I feel like Jordan's in a really, really good position for the first half of the game, probably. Maybe to like nine people. I think he'll pretty easily coast to nine people. But then after that, I feel like he's a big target. So There's something to be said about making it that far, because then he could just form new things that can make him further. But again, I think dumbing yourself down at least a little bit is always smart.
Here's where I think maybe the worst news of these last couple episodes came for Jordan. Now, Jordan and Zach have this alliance, Newport, which we got to see formed. Then we got to see Jordan with Kevin and Brent. What is the name of the Jordan and Kevin alliance?
It's called The Fortress, which, by the way, is one of the worst names I've ever heard in my life.
Thumbs down on the Fortress.
It has an article in it. Like, it's just, first five, or The Fortress. It doesn't make any
sense. Arlie, is that right? No alliances with the word the?
Well, it doesn't roll off the tongue. It's like Newport. That's an alliance. You know, Chop Shop. That's an alliance. The Fortress. What the heck is that? I can't.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sold on the name, and I think it definitely helps that it's that Kevin's just getting punked off in it to make it seem even more of a stupid name. It's like, to me, it's like the Legion of Doom. That's an alliance name. I don't care if the alliance did amazing or not. It did do well. They turned on each other, but like, that's my all-time favorite name for any alliance. It just sounds so badass.
Now, do you think that Jordan is being short-sighted in saying, no, Zach is my real alliance. I'm playing Kevin. Zach is the real alliance. It's all about Newport. Forget about the Fortress. Because I feel like he should be saying, okay, great. I've got Newport and I've also got the Fortress. Maybe the Fortress turns out to be my real alliance. And maybe it's not really my alliance with Zach.
See, I like where his head's at just because of some of the stuff I went through in the game, and it changed my perspective a little bit, because he should definitely keep his options open with Kevin. I think he should continue to punk him off as much as possible. Even though I like Kevin, it's just because it's good to have a number one, and Zach's his number one. And sometimes if you just have a ride and die from the very beginning, that can be a game changer. Edmund and Jill, John and Netta, it's like, my ride and die was Sarah, and I turned on her because she was kind of getting really attached to Kevin. But if she never turned on me, like if she never got really attached to Kenny, I don't know if I just said Kenny.
You said Kevin,
If she didn't get really attached to Kenny, she would have been my ride and die, and we would have been a force to be reckoned with. So
interesting.
I feel like when you start branching your emotions with your alliance, they can almost tell, no matter how, not even they can almost tell, just you start questioning it almost. And maybe he'll start trying to make paths for both, and then they'll see that, wait, why is he trying to help Kevin in this scenario?
Okay, but here's where I think things have taken a very bad turn for Jordan, is that I like what you're saying about like make an alliance with Zach and really mean it, because I do believe in that in these reality shows where sometimes you get two people together and the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, like we've seen with, especially in Big Brother Canada, between a Jillian and Emmett and a John and Netta, where the two people working together become sort of like this superpower that's better than the two people separately. But much like we've seen before on other reality shows, this gets complicated when Zach now has Ashley. And if there's now a woman involved, could this be the Yoko Ono of the Newport Alliance? Could, if Zach has to choose between Ashley or Jordan, don't you think he's going to pick Ashley?
It all depends on how Zach actually feels. Some of the time the guy actually chooses a smarter move over the girl. Like, all I know is in the first five, when it came to Andrew and Allison, Andrew was literally always choosing us over Allison. Yeah. We were worried about that. Like, that exact same thing you're talking about, we were all like, but like, he would have never... We were almost going to cut her. Like, we had put a plan in motion to cut her the next week before the Canada HOH thing happened, and he was on board with it. Like, he was saying it to her face, and like, he was like, I won't vote against you guys. Like, we can do this. We had to talk him into it, but I feel like using Andrew for that isn't a really good example.
What about when John Party has to pick between Netta or Arlie?
See, he's always choosing Netta in that situation, but I was aware of that in the game. My whole strategy where I was at was I need to win the next HOH, get rid of Netta so that I can have John to myself, because I knew that he was very torn. In the house, I'll admit, I was probably only 55 to Netta, 45 to me. But now that I look out, it was really like 80 to Netta, 20 to me or something.
Yeah. So yeah. I think that, I'm definitely rooting for Jordan. I feel like the wins in the house are not favorable conditions here. If I'm looking at the long-term future cast, We'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. A couple other quick things. I want to take some questions for Arlie. Arlie, if the Big Brother 2 house guests had to rank by hygiene, where would you be on the most to least?
I would probably be third or fourth from the bottom.
Okay. Who would be at the bottom?
John.
John.
Sure. Oh yeah.
Wow.
Definitely.
Wow. Why John?
When we were in the house, he was just a guy who showered the least. He was Smelly John. We called him like
Smelly John.
I think I called it that as a joke, but like, I feel like the reason why I'm actually just saying that straight up, like gut reaction answer, is because when he dislocated his shoulder, he went a really, really long time without changing his boxers. And I was like, you know what? I think it was like 4 days. And I was like, you know what, man? I know you have a dislocated shoulder, but you can pull down your boxers and pull up another pair. Like, you don't have to keep the same pair on for 4 days.
Okay.
And that's not exaggerated. Like, he knows that happened.
Wow. And he wins the game and he gets the girl too.
Like,
good for Smelly John.
How does that Smelly John? He is in my phone, saved in my phone as my smelliest friend.
My smelliest friend. Okay. Yeah. Let's just talk a little bit about the eviction that is coming up. We have sitting on the block, Cindy and Brittany. Any thoughts on Cindy? And do you agree with the idea to get rid of her, Arlie?
The idea to get rid of her is so subjective almost. It's like it all depends on who it benefits or not. Like, I agree with the Alliance getting rid of her. Yeah, they're in control this week, and I agree with their decision to get rid of her. It helps their game, and she is a little bit of a competition beast. So once they get rid of her, they'll have a lot more. They have Willow, who's probably the only other person who is comparable to Cindy in competition. So they have Willow on their side. So I feel like it makes complete sense to them. And my thoughts on her personally in the game is I feel like she completely dug her own grave. She went in there. She was shooting off from the first minute. She shouldn't have been a first impression vote if she just kept her mouth shut. And I thought it was just going to be Bruno and Cindy. I'm Bruno and Risha because they were the two oldest. And then Cindy's just hated and rubbing everyone the wrong way. And I feel like she completely deserves to be where she's at. She wasn't smooth. I felt like she carried on her audition persona into the house. It's like you really, really go hard throughout auditions to like let them know what you're going to be like. Like, and she just went in there and was a bitch to everyone. And everyone was kind of just like, Cindy, like you're rubbing us all the wrong way. So people like that either go soon. She probably would never make it deep because she's good in competitions too. But if she wasn't good at competitions, she would get second place if she made it two more weeks.
Yeah, I really like that idea that you talk about, your audition personality. Like, for instance, coming into the season, we were told about Jordan. He's the conservative. He's the social conservative. Have you heard him say anything about politics since he's been in the house other than the politics of Big Brother?
No, not at all.
Yeah. That candidate was a first five candidate, and that he's from the bomb squad party. They want to raise taxes on slop. I'll tell you what. I like that. I like that idea. So people, they go through casting and they go through, okay, I'm this person, and they get their key and they have to be that person. But Cindy almost forgot to stop doing that when she got in the house.
Absolutely.
Interesting. Interesting. All right. I want to take some questions for Arlie and then talk about the live feeds. Arlie, I know you were the king of trying to throw challenges last season, but would you have considered throwing a challenge if you knew when you became HOH, you would get access to the Show Me app?
Oh, that would have had no influence at all.
I don't know. I hear it's a big deal.
The Show Me app is a complete game changer. I actually really want to win HOH.
Yeah. The Show Me app is a game changer.
It would be a game changer for some people, which I think is just ridiculous to me because, like, a movie, letters from home meant nothing to me. Like, I didn't care. I literally was considering if we got those letters from home from Aika instead of the $5,000 check for her, I was considering going into the diary room and ripping mine up just because I thought it was so stupid we were going to get letters that early in the game. I was like, well, who cares? I just talked to my sister like 3 weeks ago. I don't care what Jess is saying in a letter. So a movie, like, sure, I watched Divergent in the house. It was a great little break from the game and actually a huge mental rest. But I would never let that affect any, like, winning HOH can put a target on your back. So I would never let, like, watching a movie increase.
Was it a game changer?
What, like, the...
Watching a movie?
The break that a movie gives you in the house is so underestimated considering what I would have thought in there, literally. Like, especially when we had Divergent, the house was nuts. It was just in the middle of the Kyle, Paul, Sabrina, Andrew, like, chaos, the racist comments, all that stuff. And we got to go lock ourselves in the backyard, and the people who were have-nots got to eat all their food and drink and popcorn and stuff. And, like, I was shocked at how much it, like, took me out of the game for a bit because your mind doesn't stop in the game. At least someone like me who overthinks everything as it is. And then when you're in there and a super fan and you think you can figure everything out, I would just, every single night I'd lie in bed and think strategy for hours before I'd fall asleep. I actually would dream strategy. And I'm not joking when I say that. Like, I would dream. I would dream strategy. I'd wake up and I'd be like, that wasn't a half bad idea. And I'd, like, work it into my plans. And when you're actually strategizing when you dream, watching a movie and not having to think and just enjoying it rests your mind. And I felt really rested after, to be honest.
Okay, so it is a game changer.
The Show Me app is a complete game changer.
Okay. All right. So let's take some questions here for Arlie. These are coming to us from our listeners, #RHAP on Twitter. This is from Zachary Zarnett Klein. Which super fan do you think is most likely to have a similar arc to their game as you, Arlie, Kevin or Jordan?
Probably Kevin, because he's on the outs of the Alliance right now. And I feel like he might go home middle of the pack because of it. I feel like Jordan can make a deeper push into the end because of his, I feel like his final two with Zach, or like his Alliance with Zach, is going to be big in this game. I feel like Zach's going to be working the house good, and he's going to want to keep Jordan. I just think that that he's probably not going to choose Ashley over Jordan. Like, I don't think it'll come to that. I don't see it coming to that yet. I've been watching feeds a lot too, and I just don't think he likes her. Or maybe, like, if he likes her, they're probably going to wait a little bit more till outside the house. I get that vibe. She seems very, very decent and wholesome, almost like...
Oh.
That's the vibe I get from her. She seems very, very, like, Southern Belle, not gonna slut it up, like, at all. So maybe their relationship won't get too intense.
All right, let me poll the live feed watchers. Brent, are you buying or selling on that Ashley and Zach will wait until after the house?
I'm buying. I'm also buying the fact that Zach will eventually choose Jordan over Ashley.
Okay, Havish.
I buy the same thing.
Oh,
I think
it's a sweep.
Zach will choose Jordan over Ashley.
Okay. All right. Let's take some more questions for Arlie, and then we'll get to live feeds. Leighton wants to know, did some house guests get screwed by the least to most challenge, like Jordan and Sarah? And did some house guests benefit, like Godfrey and Bruno? We talked about the disadvantage for Jordan. Can you talk about for Godfrey and Bruno, Arlie?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll touch on the same point I did before. I don't think that competition screwed or didn't screw anyone. I think they were doing it before, and most people realized it anyways. Most of the people that mattered realized it anyways. That's the way I look at it. Like, so for Godfrey, yeah, it helped him, but, like, he helped himself by putting himself in that position. again, I don't know if Godfrey really is one of the smartest people in the house. I actually just can't tell yet.
Yeah.
He seems to think he's
had very
there.
Little airtime. Almost none.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. So I'm unsold on him, but I do love his gameplay of acting really stupid. Like, it's a good gameplay. I tried to and literally failed at acting stupid. It worked for a while, but once you start getting cracks and people kind of think you're not, you're screwed. So if he can keep it up, it's awesome. And you notice benefits. Same with Bruno. He, especially because Jordan was like, hey, Bruno, like,
yeah, that was bad. I thought Jordan did a bad job with that. Like, hey, Bruno is too low down the list. Yeah, you can't yeah. do that. You got to just
you
like,
can't do that.
Just got to bite your tongue on that one. That's
you yeah, and Bruno in his head is just like, you look, what are you doing? Like, you can't do that. Bruno probably only moved a spot, if any, anyways. Like,
yeah, yeah. Do you think Bruno is a player to watch out for this season?
I do. He's a player to make it really deep. I'm not convinced yet if he has what it takes to get the W, but he's more and more growing on me in the sense that, like, I think he could win. He's done a couple little silly things, which I wasn't too fond of. Like, he told, I just feel like he's too dominant sometimes in their little alliance meetings. Him and Greg seem to like to chime up a lot, whereas Zach kind of just sits back. It's always smoother to just sit back. It really is. And, like, I know that's, I feel like everyone always says that, but, like, it's like common sense. You don't want people to think you're the decision maker, even within your own alliance. Like, and I feel like that's something I don't really like, but if he can rein that in, let other people start deciding stuff and like coast a little bit more, he could go far and win.
Okay. Let's take some more questions for Arlie. Jericho says, will Willow and Jordan join forces with Zach and Ashley to make one super couple?
Willow and Jordan, Zach.
Well, I'll tell you that Jordan, he has the hots for Willow. Check this out, Arlie.
It may be these logs, but Willow is starting to give me some wood in that beaver costume, and I think I need to jump in this cold water to calm down.
Wow. How about that?
That's a really funny thing to say in the DR. For
I love the music. I love the music on this part. Yeah, so it might just be this beaver costume, but damn.
That's great.
Here, you do one. Give us your confessional of talking about how hot Willow is.
Oh, Willow. I just wish that me and you were hot tubbing right now.
Yes.
We will be soon, Niagara, baby.
Yes, okay. Do you think that's a chance, or are we going to have like a couples alliance here that are you buying that?
Well, I don't think Jordan and Willow will actually be a couple. And Zach and Ashley, no, I don't see that foursome coming together. I feel like Jordan's got too much
fan fiction, right?
Going on. Yeah. I just don't see it.
Right. Guys, we're not missing anything here that, there's, no Jordan and Willow on the horizon, Brent.
I don't see it happening.
Not on the horizon. Okay. Let's go to a couple more questions. Shane Gallagher says, Arlie, if you had to nominate two house guests on the first night of your season, which two house guests would you have chosen? Okay. Everybody now had to nominate two people this season. Who would you have put up and why?
All right. So is it the same, like, as in everyone's nominating, or I'm HOH and like,
no, everybody's nominating.
Okay. So everybody's nominating. No one knows I'm nominating. I would have, I would have probably gone with girls. I probably would have done Rochelle and Heather, or Rochelle, Ike, and Heather would have been the three on my list. I don't know exactly which two of those ones.
By the way, Ike is scheduled to be our guest here on Friday on the Big Brother Canada recap. She did a great job last season.
She'll give you, yeah, a great show for sure.
She's very good. Very good. All right.
Definitely.
All right. This is from Scott. Scott wants to know, I'd like to know what girl in the house Arlie is rooting for and which one he thinks is playing the best game right now.
All right. So playing the best game.
Tell me about which girl in the house you like.
I'm a really big fan of Sarah.
Yes.
She's a Toronto girl. I feel like we're going to get along really, really well. She just seems super cool. Game-wise, She's made a couple rookie mistakes, which I'm super annoyed about. Like, the not checking the bathroom is just so silly.
Who is this, Sarah?
Yeah, Sarah.
Sarah.
I was just saying for, like, who I like, not so much gameplay. I don't think any of the girls right now are playing an amazing game. If that sounds jerk-ass or not, I don't know. But it's like, Willow's...
Well, you're not saying that they can't play a good game because they're girls. You're just saying that none of the girls in the house happen to be playing a good game.
Girls can definitely play good games. Look at Netta. It's just, this season, like, I don't think Willow's playing that great right now. I think the guys, like, she's with guys, and normally they just, like, kind of elbow the girl out when they need to. I feel like Sarah's made some rookie moves. Naya's on the wrong side of things. She's really smart, though. I really like that, how she threw Cindy under the bus, stuff like that. But she's on the wrong side of things, so I'm not too impressed with where things are going to go for her. She's pretty much the target next week, potentially. I don't know, maybe, if things keep going this way. And then with Cindy's clearly not playing a good game at all, what other girls are there?
Let's see.
Ashley. Ashley's not doing much, really. Like, maybe Ashley's playing the best game, just because I don't have too much of an opinion of her game, and I don't think she's being super smart and sly and, like, just going to come out crazy at the end, but I didn't think that about Netta either. So,
yeah, I'm telling you, the best thing you could do on Big Brother is, if we don't say your name in the first month, you're doing great. I don't think we talked about Netta last season until, like, April 15th. I think we sent our taxes in, and then we started talking about Netta, and then that was it. All right, let's get into talking about the live feeds, because I know there's a lot of stuff going on heading into the eviction coming up on Wednesday night. Arlie, how much of the live feeds do you check out?
I watch a decent amount.
A decent amount. Do you get, like, sort of like flashbacks of being back in the house watching the live feeds, or are you able to handle it?
There's a lot of flashbacks, especially because it's legitimately the same house. So it's like those rooms, it's like, I asked flashback central the whole time, actually.
Yes. Okay. All right. So let's pick things up heading into, the eviction. Havish, could you, fill us in where we are right now as far as tomorrow's vote?
So it seems like it's pretty much unanimous. Cindy's going home. Everybody's on board, it seems like. And, it's basically done.
It's done.
Everybody's looking forward to the next week.
No chance for a miracle for Cindy tonight.
No chance.
No chance.
No chance.
All right. Brent, could you tell us a little bit about how Cindy's campaign went during the week?
I mean, the girlfriend has tried to save herself. I will say she went up to Neha in particular and seemed to have her convinced. Neha then went to Sarah, and Sarah talked her out of what ultimately I think is the right decision. Or talked her into the right decision and into the correct move, which is to get rid of Cindy. Because if you try to save Cindy at this point, you're exposing yourself to the main alliance in the house. They don't know that there's an alliance in the house, but they suspect that there is in terms of the boys. And I think that it would just be putting their neck out too far for very little reward. I don't think they even trust Cindy at this point to work with them. So that's why they won't risk their neck to save her.
And does Cindy know that she's the one going home tomorrow night?
Yes. Yes. She affirmatively knows. She may be in denial about it, but she knows.
Arlie, how awkward is it when the person knows they're going home? Is that more awkward or less awkward than when it's a blind side?
Let's see. I guess it's kind of different. It's kind of how you feel about the person. Cause if you really like them, it's really awkward if they know you're going to vote them out. Like, I literally have examples of all those for my season with the Nick. She didn't know. We just completely blindsided her. It made for a lot more comfortable week for us, for sure, because that would have just been hectic if a Nick knew. And then with Paul and with Kyle and stuff, like, we didn't care at all that they knew. It's like, yeah, you guys are going home. You shouldn't have come at us. Like, see ya. But then when it comes to Sarah and when I had to turn on her and vote her out, like, that was the most devastating thing that I did in there, and it sucked. Telling her, I told her she was gone, and for a couple days she knew, and, like, that sucked. But I don't even know if I, like, I could have blindsided her. I only told her for game reasons, to be honest, but I don't even know how I would have reacted if I blindsided her. Like, that one moment would have been really tough for me too. So it's just, it's weird. Like, even when I went home, it sucks when, like, you're pretty sure you're going home because people treat you so different. They treat you like you have the plague. I remember treating everyone like they had the plague. I remember it. It was so funny when I was on the good end of it. But then when you're on the bad end, you're like, no, like, I actually just need to try and talk you guys into keeping me, and no one will sit in a room and talk to me. Like, this sucks. So there's a million different ways of how to answer that question.
Okay, so Havish, if the house is focused on, or if the attention is off of the vote for this week, where has the house been focused strategically? What's the conversation been?
Well, the Newport Alliance has been trying to get the Chop Shop Alliance go against Sarah Neha. So they're just trying to play each side, where Zach has been going up to the Chop Shop Alliance, trying to target Neha. And it looks like Jordan's going up to Sarah, trying to target Greg right now.
Okay. So is that really the way that people should be the thing people should be focused on right now, Brent? Do you think that are Sarah and Neha really the biggest targets in the house right now?
No, but Bruno and Greg, who seem to be controlling the alliance, or they're at least the mouthpiece for the alliance, they are convinced that Neha is the brains behind the operation if there is a girl alliance. I will say the one good thing about Sarah is that she's, you know, by being in an alliance with Neha, Neha's always going to be the bigger target. You know, she's mouthier, she seems smarter, she's more headstrong. And Sarah, you know, if she's up on the block next to her, she's always going to be safe as long as Neha's in the house. I will say that going into next week, the people that are the most in danger, and I always like to call it the girl you're in danger, is the Neha, Sarah, and possibly Johnny. Bruno and Greg don't really like Johnny all that much. I think they like him, but I think they're afraid of him. And I think from a macho point of view, they're really afraid of losing to him too. And on the other side of the house, Bruno, Greg, and possibly Bobby are the ones who are most in danger of eviction. Everybody else is safe unless something changes.
Arlie, not that it would have changed anything, but didn't you think it was terrible when Cindy tried to cut a deal with Bobby and she made him basically a real godfather offer that, hey, if you don't put me on the block, 2 weeks safety for Bobby. Yeah. I mean, is that one of the worst deals you've ever heard on Big Brother?
Absolutely. It's like when I was watching that, I was like, okay. If this person prevents you from walking out the door, you got to make them, even if you don't believe it, you got to make them think you will eat their toenails if you want them to. Like, you will do anything for them in the game. Not, oh, I'll save you for 2 weeks if possible. Like, I'm like, game are you playing? Like, how are you trying to save yourself like that? It's so frustrating. And what, like, again, watching her, when she had the talk that, like, Kevin overheard, you want to know the stupidest thing about that talk? It wasn't even the fact that Kevin overheard it. It's the fact that she was having it before the POV. You don't need to have strategy talks like that before the POV because you're just making random speculation. She's like, okay, girls, let's win POV, keep it the same. Like, if you guys win POV, make that decision after. The biggest mistake people do in Big Brother is planning things before the POV that never happen, and then the plan comes back to bite them, which is exactly what happened to Cindy. Just horrible gameplay on every level of her game.
All right. Havish, could you tell me, are there any other brewing showmances in the house at this point?
So right now, Kevin and Peely are really going at it.
Kevin and Peely are going at it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. And then my next question is, how is Johnny reacting to this?
Johnny's a little upset. He lost his cuddle buddy at night, so... Kevin would start out in Johnny's bed, and then all of a sudden Kevin's gone and Johnny looks over and he's in Peely's bed. So it's kind of weird like that.
Arlie, what do you make of this? You know, Kevin has been very open with his own sexuality in this game. But do you feel like that there is a downside to potentially leading Johnny on in some way, whether it's strategic or not, and then abandoning him high and dry to go and hook up with Peely?
I think there's a million downsides to it. Again, stuff like that, I feel like he's just winging more than he's thinking strategically about, because I would have just never got so close to Johnny. And it's nothing to do with because he's gay. Like, if I thought me making out with a gay guy on the show or spooning with him would help my game, I would do that completely. Like, I'm all about the game. But I just don't see that here. I just feel like Johnny had a little thing for him. He probably liked Johnny, didn't want to. I don't know what his reasoning was, but I don't think it was game related. And if it was game related, I feel like he put a bigger target on his back than he did help his game, which is why he got targeted week two. Like, I just don't see the whole Johnny thing, especially after Zanky last BB16. It's like, that's already a thing now, and they already got like so much heat in game for like, just, it's an alliance. It's like a showmance, only it's two males, which is like kind of scary. So I just don't see any positives. And especially now that he's making out with Peely, it's like, now you're going to turn the guy against you, maybe. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Brent, could you talk a little bit about this and whether you think that this has been a net positive or a net negative for Kevin's game, this relationship with Johnny, which included a very hot and heavy makeout session in Spin the Bottle. I mean, it wasn't exactly like, was it Bobby and Ashley?
Was that? Yeah. Oh my God. Exactly. It wasn't a peck on the cheek. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I will say that, I will disagree a little bit with Arlie as, the gay man on the panel. I will kind of like put myself in Johnny's shoes. Johnny knows that Kevin is straight, and I'll use quotes because he's just, he's straight-ish. He's the modern straight guy. He's open. And Johnny gets that. Johnny knows what side of his bread Kevin butters. So he gets that. If Kevin goes with Peely and sleeps with her, Johnny inside, I can't even see him even being annoyed by it. I mean, he has made a few comments in the house like, he's not slutting around with me, he's slutting around with everybody else. But it just seems more in fun than anything else. I think Johnny knows what's up, and I really do think it has been net positive. The one thing that could hurt them is the Zanky comparison. If Zanky had not happened last season, I think they would ultimately be safe, in regard to anyone looking at them as a potential threat. But with Zanky having happened, I think that it does paint a bit of a target on them.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to add one quick thing to what I was saying. Also, I don't want it to seem like I was saying that he was jealous just because just because of like a sexual relationship, but also just because like almost he could feel that he's forming a closer connection with Peely, and that can take away their game. Like, he probably felt like Kevin was his number one for a bit, and now he might be like, oh crap, maybe I don't know anymore. So it can just maybe make him second guess game stuff too.
All right. Havish, any other showmances brewing?
Not really any more showmances. Just Peely and Kevin and Zach and Ashley.
Okay.
Those are our top two.
Nothing going on with Cindy?
Well, okay, yeah. Cindy has been trying to campaign to a lot of the guys. And recently, she's been campaigning to Jordan. And recently, they've had a couple makeout sessions together.
Yes.
Rob.
Wow. Good for Jordan.
I have to say something about that though, Rob. I wrote this down. This is, transcribed exactly from the live feeds. So Jordan and Zach had a conversation about this, and he told everybody, I'm going to be sleeping with Cindy tonight and we might be making out, but I'm still going to vote her out. And so Jordan says, I told all my bros about it. Zach made a joke that Jordan is quote unquote macking on them when they're going out the door. And then Jordan said, yeah, that's when they're most desperate. So not the best look for Jordan, I just want to say.
I think, you take what you can get. Arlie, any issue with Jordan's strategy here?
You know what? Not at all, because Jordan, I feel like Jordan wants to just experience the full Big Brother experience, and making out with a girl in the Big Brother house is kind of part of it. So it's like, and it wasn't just from like Spin the Ball or something. Like, he actually like made it happen multiple times. They have. So it's like, I think that's good for him. It, no matter how he has to do it, I feel like he'll be proud of that one when we talk after.
Yes, I think so. And you know what? I think that while it might be, you know, not the, you know, greatest thing, the most noble thing to do, I think for Jordan, the name of the game right now is change the narrative of Jordan is a super fan and Jordan is going to win the game. And if people are talking about, oh my God, can you believe how that Jordan did blah, blah, blah with Cindy? I think that changes the topic of conversation. And maybe we're not looking at Jordan, who's the most likely to win the game, but now we're talking about Jordan in other situations. So I think that it could be, and I don't think, believe me, I don't think this is a strategy move, unless we're talking about a strategy of something else. But I do think that it could potentially be a good thing. And maybe, hanging out with Cindy a little bit, maybe we're not ranking top Big Brother redheads of all time and whatever else we're doing. That's kind of like what we do anyway. So I think it'll be a good thing. We'll see. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. Let's take this one from Amazing Race Know It All. The house target changes every few hours. Johnny, Kevin, Cindy, Neha, Greg, Willow, Zach. But who is the biggest threat in the house that they should focus on? All right. I want to get an answer from all three of you guys. Arlie, who is the biggest threat in the house that everybody should be focused on right now?
Crap. It's so hard to just answer that blanketly. Right now, I think the biggest threat is Zach and or Zach and Jordan, but I think that's going to change because I feel like people will realize they're the biggest threat.
Yeah.
But I feel like right now they are.
Okay. Brent, who's the biggest threat in the house that they need to worry about?
I think they should go with the ones that that they voted for. Everyone said, Jordan, you're the most likely to win the game. You're the smartest guy in the house. Obviously, he's the biggest threat. So I think you need to get him out while you can. It's not going to happen. No one's going to nominate Jordan next week. I just don't see it happening. But if I could wave a magic wand and make them think what I wanted them to think, they should be thinking that they should go after Jordan.
And Havish?
I think it's Jordan and Zach. I agree with Arlie. They seem like they're at the center of everything right now.
See, I would feel like that if I was in the Big Brother house, but I would say the people who I think are the biggest threats aren't the people that are going to win the game. I feel like the people that are the biggest threats are the people that I don't see coming yet. It's like the guys like somebody like a Jordan or a Kevin. I almost feel like if I'm in the house, I know eventually somebody's going to take them out. Somebody's going to take their shots at them. It's all those people in the middle of that group that I feel like in my strategy dreams, those are the people that I feel like I'm terrified of, that they're going to come out of the woodwork, you know, a month from now when all the big threats sort of like take each other out. Those are the people that are going to be standing there and all of a sudden making their moves. Arlie, what do you think of that? Am I talking crazy?
No, that makes complete sense. And like, I initially didn't want to choose Zach or Jordan because, like, exactly like I explained in my logic with it, I feel like they're going to be found out as the biggest threats, and so they won't technically be the biggest threats anymore because their games will be exposed. So, like, with that being said, I feel like the Nehas and Sarahs and the people who are on the outs of the big alliance have a great shot as long as the alliance can crack. And normally the alliance does crack. But the only reason I wouldn't want to initially predict a Neha or a Sarah is because they could just go home next week and I look stupid. So I went with like a safer pick, but probably not one that actually would. Oh, they could win. I don't know. This is just hard pick.
All right. We're starting to run out of time, but I do want to talk about the broken camera situation, CameraGate. All right. Brent, could you take us through what's going on with the camera and what sort of punishment has been doled out by Big Brother?
Well, Big Brother woke up the house guests this morning, which, by the way, is Johnny's birthday. I just want to point that out. He got
Happy
a lap
birthday,
dance.
Johnny.
Yes, he got a lap dance from Bobby and a kiss and a naked straddle of some kind from Kevin last night. Anyway, so Whoa. It's Johnny's birthday, and I know it's at around midnight last night. If you want to check the timestamp. Big Brother woke him up and told him that somebody had deliberately—that's the key word—deliberately had broken or messed with one of the cameras in the backyard, and Big Brother took away all of the food and the hot water until that person confessed. And the house guests, of course, are livid about it. They want, they keep saying to anybody who did it, you know, to just go out and confess. So they all decided to go to they all went to the HOH room, and one by one, they went down to the diary room if they wanted to, and they could confess at that point. There was a list of people, I think 8 people long, that went to the diary room, but Big Brother hasn't given them back their food or their hot water at this hour. There is some suspicion from the fans that this is Big Brother screwing with them a little bit. I have to say that the live feeds haven't been the most exciting. With so many super fans in the house, they're all aware that they shouldn't be causing any drama. And so the feeds they've been a little lackluster. I'm just being honest with you. And because of that, this is similar to something that happened in Big Brother 1, where someone messed with something. And actually, that culprit was never even found. So we don't even know yet if it's a task, if Big Brother's screwing with them, or if someone really did deliberately break the camera.
Arlie, what is your take on this?
Something isn't adding up.
Something's not adding up, right.
I can't figure out exactly what it is, but it's like, yeah, like deliberate. That's the key word. They say someone deliberately broke it, and unless... I just don't feel like anyone has the balls to deliberately break a camera. Like, I was in that house. We know what it took to get there. And we know if I went up and punched a camera, they actually could take me out. And like this early in the game, I'm not confident enough that they wouldn't have, like, literally. So the fact that they're saying someone deliberately did it is kind of what's messing with me. Because I feel like if someone accidentally walked into it with their head, they would just, as soon as Big Brother called it out, they would have been like, oh shit, that was me, Big Brother, sorry, like, I hit it with my head, I didn't mean to break it, look at the other cameras, you'll see. But for them to say, like, someone deliberately did it, we're punishing you all, I kind of just think they want to cause chaos.
Yes.
Or someone actually just broke a camera and doesn't care at all. But, like, that doesn't seem realistic.
Somebody tell me how, in a house with 10,000 cameras, we don't know who broke one camera.
Well, that's the thing, Rob. Big Brother says they know broke the camera.
Why? Why do they have to? You have to confess. So what are they?
They want them to confess. That's why the fans are not believing this, because if Big Brother knows, why don't they just call that person into the diary room and say, you know, read them the riot act?
Yeah. Havish, is this good TV?
It's getting better. I think what good TV was last night with Johnny's little birthday bash.
You saw it? You saw what happened with Kevin?
Yeah, it was very entertaining. It was Bobby came in and he did a little strip dance for Johnny, and then everybody pushed for Kevin to do a little strip dance for Johnny too. And so Kevin did that for him and give him a little kiss, and then Godfrey got in on it too.
Yeah, well, and then what happened?
But he like split his pants and sat back down.
Okay. All right. Arlie, would you have done a striptease for Johnny?
Definitely. Like, yeah, it's all in good fun. I like how Bob, yeah, it was a good idea for sure. Johnny probably had a great time. It's his birthday. If Johnny wants it, for sure, I would have given him one.
Okay, there you go. All right. Well, Arlie, fantastic job. This was a great interview. You know your stuff. It was a pleasure to talk with you here today, Arlie. I hope we can do it again this season.
Really appreciate that. And it was honestly a pleasure. Like, I've been waiting to do the show with you, and I love that I finally got the chance. It's been cool.
Good. Well, anytime you want to do it again, Arlie, you let me know.
Awesome. Will do, for sure.
All right. Follow Arlie on Twitter. Arlie, what's your Twitter handle?
I'm at Arlie Chaban on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay, boom. There you go. All right, and great job out of the gate from Brent and Havish. So let's go ahead and let's give out your handles. Brent, your Twitter is just the same as your name. That's Brent Walgamont. For those of you guys listening to the audio podcast, it's Brent, WOLGAMOTT. Brent, great job tonight.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay. And then, of course, our Canadian live feed reporter on the panel is Havish Patel. Do I say that right?
Yes.
Havish Patel. That's H-A-V-I-S-H underscore P-A-T-E-L. Yes. Great. And great job as well, Havish. And I hope that there are some more Big Brother people that have birthdays this season.
Yeah, it'd be really exciting.
Okay. Of course, I told you that on Friday we're going to talk with Ika. We're going to have the two more live feed reporters that you're going to meet, and then we're going to go back through the rotation and mix and match up the order a little bit more to get everybody back on a second time. So thank you again, Arlie. Great job. And thank you to Scott St. Pierre. We've got the Rob's a Podcast patron cast coming up later tonight. Tomorrow night, we do Survivor Know-It-Alls with Stephen Fishback. We're back with the Merge episode of Survivor. Plus, we'll talk to the next person kicked off of Survivor, and we'll do our big Survivor recap on Thursday with Vetus and voicemails with Bryce Isaiah. And then on Friday night, The Amazing Race comes back. We'll do our Big Brother Canada podcast at 7 Eastern, and then Amazing Race at 9:15. So busy Friday coming up as well on another busy week on the podcast. So have a great night, everybody. I want to give a hashtag. How about hashtag Smelly John? What do you think of that, Arlie?
Oh, that's a good hashtag.
Yes, there you go. All right, everybody. Have a great night. Take care. Bye.